Tira Panachani. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihani. Gopijana Vallabha Jaya Giri Vanadhadhani. Jaya Giri Vanadhadhani. Gopijana Vallabha Jaya Giri Vanadhadhani. Jaya Giri Vanadhadhani. Jasoda Nandana Braja Janarandana. Jasoda Nandana Braja Janarandana. Yamuna Tira Banachadi. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari. Gopijana Vallabha Giri Vanadhadhani. Gopijana Vallabha Giri Vanadhadhani. Jasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Jasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yamuna Tira Banachari. Yamuna Tira Banachari. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Brinda. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Follow, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Bolo, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Jagannath, Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Baladev, Jaya Subhadra, Jaya Radha Landaneswara, Radha Landaneswara, Radhe. Nittai Gaura Haribo, 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 Nittai Gaura Haribo, 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 Nittai Gaura Haribo, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Premanande. Okay, welcome everybody. As usual, I have a sore throat. Are there coughs? So, let me first pay my obeisances to all the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord who've gathered here to hear the glories of the holy name. Panche kalpa tarubhyas cha kripa sindhu bhyayava cha patitanam pavane bhyo vaishnave bhyo namo namaha. Now we'll pay our obeisances to our spiritual master and to founder of Chari Viscon, Srila Prabhupada. Namo om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Mastai Budhle Srimati Jabhidaka Swami Tanamana. Namo om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Mastai Budhle Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamana. Namaste Saraswati Deva Gauravani Pacharane Nivashesha Sanyavadi Pastya Jadeshtan. All glories to Srila Prabhupada! Ki jai! So it's very nice that Prabhupada gave some mercy and decided to fulfill the mission of his spiritual master, because by doing that, we all get the chance to hear the wonderful glories of Lord Krishna. Now, tonight we're going to speak about a few topics based on a book called Sri Harinam Chintamani. So this book is one of the most informative books that a person can ever read or study on chanting. Now, chanting is said to be the way that we purify our heart. The Maha Mantra is the sound incarnation of the Lord, and in every yuga, this Maha Mantra is there in some form or other. And in the lifetime of Lord Brahma, in one day of Lord Brahma, in the creation of the universe from beginning to end, the Maha Mantra is around in a covered form at times, and at other times there is an empowered incarnation of the Lord to reveal this Maha Mantra. But very rarely, only once in the entire creation of the universe, does the Supreme Lord Himself come to actually deliver this Maha Mantra. And at this time, the Maha Mantra has a very, very special potency given to it. And Krishnadas Kaviraj, who writes a book called Chaitanya Charitamrita, he reveals in his Adi Leela that the Supreme Lord didn't have to come to spread the Sankirtan movement. This is not the job of the Supreme Lord. And the reason is that this Sankirtan movement is just a religious process. So chanting the Maha Mantra is simply a form of religion. So everybody may say that's fine because religion connects you with God. However, the type of God, incarnation of the Lord that we're interested in is Krishna, a specific rasa. And if you want to have relationship with Lord Krishna, you must have prema. So this is very special to understand. You must have intense love for the Lord. And we're going to discuss this intense love of the Brajbasis to begin this seminar in order to set our prayojan. So the word prayojan indicates what is your goal, what is your urgent need to attain. And if you don't know what your goal is, you may be misled. Just like we may want to get a bus to Trafalgar Square. And if we don't know where Trafalgar Square is, we don't know which bus to get on, we'll definitely go to a different direction. Ask the bus driver. So, yes, definitely ask the bus driver. But the point is, then you will know where you're going. So, in this movement, we're practicing what's called the Yuga Dham, Harinam Sankirtan. That Yuga Dham is a religious process, and Krishnadas Kaviraj reveals that this wasn't the reason that Lord Chaitanya advented. This was just simply a coincidental happening. It happened by coincidence that the time for spreading this Harinam Sankirtan, the time for revealing the Maha Mantra, was happening at the same time as Lord Chaitanya desired to come and fulfill his internal reasons. So the Lord's internal reason is to taste love of Godhead in separation, in the mood of Radharani. So when the Lord tests something, just like we see when the Lord's finished the bhoga offering on the altar, it becomes prasadam, and the Lord doesn't keep, He gives. So the Lord came to taste intense love, prema bhakti, and give that to others. And this is a special benediction that Lord Gauranga comes to give. In all other time periods, this wasn't available. So the Maha Mantra is there, but not this love of Godhead. And Advaita Acharya, he was wondering, how can these foolish people in Kali Yuga be saved? How can all of these sinful people be saved? And he thought, I will call on the Lord, and my name as Advaita will be fulfilled only if I can drag the Lord down and make the Lord give the absolute highest benediction to all of the sinful people. So he called on the Lord, and the Lord decided, yes, my devotee is calling on me, and when my devotee calls, I can't remain back. I must go there. So all of the desires of the Lord and the religious practice for the age, they all merged in one point, and that point was what we know, the beginning of the Sankirtan movement. So when one chants the Maha Mantra, one isn't necessarily going back to Krishna Loka. There are different, when Prabhupada said, I'll take you back to Godhead, this is undoubted. But which Godhead? This which Godhead is dependent on ourself. There are many buses out there, but which one you get on is dependent on you, on your desire. Where do you want to go to? So it's very important to know where we want to go. And this book called Sri Harinam Chintamani, which I've wrote extensive elaborations on, commentaries on, explains to you exactly where you want to go to, which is the topmost destination, which is the highest rasa to be in, and all of the details how to get there through chanting. It's mentioned that the Lord is His holy name. So when you chant the holy name, it's not different from associating with the Lord. And as you associate with the Lord, you're immediately purified of your anattas. These anattas are what hold you back and allow you to think that you are the body. So only by associating with the holy name does your heart become purified. You can do all of the service you want, and if that service is not coupled with chanting, then that service won't have the same effect in the slightest. We're going to touch on a few subtle points in this class in order to clarify some details, some misunderstandings, so that we can all go to the right destination. I'll speak firstly about this Harinam Chintamani, because the structure of this book is very important to understand. So the book itself contains all information about chanting, everything you need to know from the very, very beginning stages right up to the most advanced stages called the Swasiki worship in meditating on the Lord's Astakaliya Leela. This is the Lord's Eightfold Pastimes in Braj. So every 3 hours of the day, the Lord enacts a different pastime, and 3/8 of 24. So then they're continuously, they're called the Asta, eight three-hourly pastimes. So how do you do that? How do you meditate on these? Well, you meditate on them when you have a spiritual form. So we hear, when we come to the movement, we hear that you're not this material body. This part is very clear to understand. So then you may say, okay, I'm not the material body, what am I? And then we hear, your spirit soul. So an intelligent person realizes that this word spirit means Brahman. This is the effulgence of the Lord. So an intelligent person won't be satisfied with that. He'll say, well, if I'm not this material body, I know I'm just not an energy form, I'm not just spirit soul, I actually have a personality and a form. So if I'm not this material body, then which body am I? It's very important to begin to ask, if I'm not this person, then who am I? It's actually not good enough just to think that I'm spirit soul. So there's various stages of advancement in devotional service. One of those stages called the Shravan Dasa. The word Dasa means stage in this regard. Shravan means the stage of hearing. So it's mentioned that the Vedas, we study Vedic literature in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the condensed version of all the Vedas. It's all the cream of the crop of the Vedas put condensed into one form of story form, pastimes. And these pastimes are actually like a scientific understanding of the universe, of how to climb the tree of the universe and how to get out of the universe. So a scientist, he'll perform some experiment and he'll write down all the details of his experiment, and any person that follows the details of that experiment in the future will be able to replicate that experiment exactly. And then something is known as scientific if it can be replicated again and again and again. Similarly, the Bhagavatam deals in scientific understanding. The word Veda means knowledge, and the word science also means a collection of knowledge. So what the Vedas do, they take examples from perfected devotees and also sometimes some people who make mistakes, so you see how not to do things. And they take examples from living people who've done something. And then if you listen to that example and you're thinking about a spiritual goal, so to speak, you don't have to conduct the activity with a material body, because spirit has nothing to do with a material body. So simply by listening and then fathoming what is the actual purpose of the pastimes you're listening to, you can actually attain the same goal as that pastime you're listening to. Therefore, at the end of the pastimes, it's often said, a person who hears this attains liberation, or a person who hears this will go back to Godhead, or a person who hears these pastimes. So that's the result. The scientists will say, if you put this chemical and that chemical together, you'll get this result. So he says you will get this, and Bhagavatam similarly gives you the result of hearing. It's mentioned at the end of the Bhagavad Gita that a person who simply hears the Bhagavad Gita will go to the pious planets, you know, the planets where the pious dwell. And Prabhupada explains in the commentary of this text that a devotee may reach the Dhruvaloka planet, which is a spiritual planet. This is where Mahavishnu dwells there, in the form of Shiradakshaya Vishnu at that place. So it's very important for us to have a firm understanding. This firm understanding is called Sambandha Gyan, understanding our relationship with the Lord. That means we as people, as spirit souls who have a name, a form, a place to live in this place, you have a home. Normally you have an occupation, some characteristics that tell what you like. You have a husband or a wife or friends. Similarly, in the spiritual world, you must have these things. Otherwise, you're in the Brahman effulgence. So you have to find what they are. So the first stage of understanding is called Shravandas. And the first aspect of the Vedas revealing this stage to you is called Vaikarika information. That means you take knowledge in the hearing process, and that knowledge is based in the mode of goodness, and that illuminates your body, the energy centers of your body. But this is only the first stage of the Vedas, how they act on the body. They actually act on four different forms, and three of them are internal. So if a person thinks that they're a very learned scholar, and they think, well, I know so many slokas, or I know so many stories from the Gita, or I'm a great storyteller, all this information and all this knowledge is simply on the preliminary level. It's not internal. It's just on the externals of life. And it will take you up to the heavenly planets, because this material universe is governed by three modes of nature: goodness, passion, and ignorance. So when you have knowledge of the Vedas in Vaikarika, mode of goodness, you'll go to the top of the universe, which is situated in goodness. But it's nothing to do with the spiritual world. The spiritual world is understood by the Vedas through indirect reference. And then, by indirect reference and some logic, you get introduced to Krishna's pastimes. And Krishna's pastimes are transcendental. So when you meditate on the Lord's pastimes, you can go beyond this material universe. But the Bhagavatam deals in many forms of the Lord. In the beginning, Maharaj Pariksit asks the question, how do we understand the supreme goal, specifically when we can't concentrate on the supreme goal because we have problems, we have anattas. And Sukadeva Goswami, the word Sukha means parrot. So Sukadeva Goswami, he's Radharani's parrot in the spiritual world. And he comes here in order to recite. That's what parrots do. So he recites the Bhagavatam and he gets the name Sukha. Sukha means parrot. So Sukadeva Goswami explains in the Bhagavatam that one first has to understand the universal form. Hence, last year we discussed the universe. So each time we come, we'll discuss a deeper aspect. Last year we discussed the nature of time, creation and time. So this is explained in the third canto of the Bhagavatam. And then beyond that, there is a structure of the universe, and we discussed this in relation to the geometry of space last year. And then we discussed transcendence, And today we're going to discuss transcendence on a deeper level in relation to chanting. So we all have this possibility by entering into the Lord's Harinam Sankirtan. We have the possibility to enter into Goloka Vrindavan, Hare Krishna Puruji, and actually attain one of the highest moods possible. So there are four different flavors offered by the Lord in the Braj Rasa. And they all have tinges. Can we move? Oh, it's finished now. it's finished. It's all right. They all have, they're imbued with Madhurya Ras, the loving tendencies. Sorry, I've got a tickly throat. The highest of which is called the Parakya Bhava. So this Parakya Bhava is very, very specific. It's only to be found amongst the Braj Gopis. Now let me ask one question. We have lots of cups and we have some water. So yeah, anybody please just pass it around and take something, because sometimes you need something to drink. So this Parakya Rasa is actually offered by Lord Chaitanya and Lord Chaitanya's followers. If you think who you are, and you think that about the nature of this universe and the nature of time, and you see how vast it is, and you see that time, since time immemorial, that means the beginning of this material creation, I think it's 432 million years, one creation cycle, 12 hours of Lord Brahma. You have so many births and deaths. You may be on one time period here, and I'll give you an example of time, how it differs in different parts of the universe. 1 second of time passing at this point in time is equal to what's called a truti in Vedic terms. This truti is 18 atomic particles combining. So if you were to take this amount, truti, and you were to divide it, it's 1 second, so it's like gone, like that. If you were to divide it into 168,000 pieces, yeah? So you take 1 second and divide it 168,000 times, then that's called a truti, and that's 18 atomic particles combining. So Krishna says in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam that the nature of the world isn't how we perceive it, but we perceive the world according to time passing in relation to the body. And every other living entity also sees time passing according to the nature of their body. So for a dog, for instance, it's said to be 7 years for every 1 year of ours, so it's passing faster. Trees that live for thousands of years or hundreds of years, obviously their time is passing slower than ours, but relatively it's one lifetime, which comprises of 100 years. So a fruit fly is a matter of hours, for instance. So this truti, 168,000 divisions, is equal to 1 second of ours. There are beings that live within this time frame. So within 1 second of our time frame going, it said Lord Brahma, he went to his planetary system just for one moment, that's under a second, and then he came back here and a year had passed. So that's not 1 second passed, that's an entire year. How many seconds are in a year? And he was only there for a moment, and then he just magicked his way back. So we see that there are beings that live in time periods that are so moving so fast. And Lord Krishna explains to Uddhava that a person will falsely assume the nature of time. He may say that this is a river and the river is flowing. And a person may say at one point, that is the river. But Krishna says actually, there is ever new water flowing in a river. So every time you look and say that's the river, actually it's a new point. There is creation and destruction happening. If we split a triti up, you'll see it's creation and destruction 168,000 times a second. And that's 18 atomic particles. So beneath that, there is many, many more. So creation and destruction is happening so fast. So how many births have you had in this material world? You won't be able to fathom. How many times you've been a fruit fly, and then the next birth up is just a little, living a little longer, and then a little longer, and a little longer, and a little longer. So you took many births, and you've managed to be so fortunate that you've come to this particular movement in relation to performing Sankirtan and having the possibility of performing Prema Sankirtan. So this Prema Sankirtan is so specific that you can enter into a Madhurya Rasa, that means a loving relationship with the Lord, and then beyond that you can even enter into Parakiya Bhava, which is the highest of all, and it's only found in that one place. So this Harinam Chintamani, it covers all of this information and much, much, much more. So the structure of this book is very important to understand. I was mentioning first about the Vedas. I'll continue with that so that we finish that one section. The Vedas act on three internal levels, and you have to know how the Vedas act by understanding the Bhagavatam itself. What are all the stories about? How are they all connected, and how do they move you as a person? And you get to know that through chanting, through associating with the spiritual world. And as you chant and you go deeper and deeper into time and space itself, the Lord reveals what is the meaning of the Bhagavatam. And as the Lord reveals this, it's revealed in two ways. The Lord appears externally as Guru and internally as the Chetya Guru, as the super soul within the heart. Externally, the spiritual master will give information, knowledge, in the form of Vaikarika, the mode of goodness. So something that will lead you forwards. That information, you bring it on board yourself, you see how it resonates with you as a person, and then at the same time the super soul is sending information up over. So there's one information coming down and one information coming up, and you're sandwiched in the middle somewhere. And when when all of your body resonates with the information coming in from the spiritual master and resonates with the information coming in from the super soul, at that point you've realized it. You've connected the two together and made a link, a joint link in the chain, and then it becomes vijnana. So this means you've got realized knowledge and actualized. And what does that mean? It means you're acting according to this knowledge. So it's not only textbook knowledge anymore. A person can have textbook knowledge, he can give a very nice class, he can give. Bhakti itself is a mixture of knowledge, of Samvit potency and Sandini, the eternal potency. So as you're performing Bhakti Yoga, knowledge itself will come to you. However, that is tested in that you have to understand, are you exactly acting according to the Lord's desires? And this is when the Vedas really start moving you as a person. They act on the stomach chakra, they act on the solar plexus, and then we go into the heart. There's a chakra yoga system called Sat Chakra Yoga. This is six chakras the yogis perform. So devotees also perform this by chanting Mahamantra, but they don't go to the six chakras, they don't go to the throat, they don't go to the third eye, they don't go to the Brahmarandra. There's no reason for them, because that is called the path of Pravriti Marg. That's the external path throughout the universe. And when a yogi dies, he attempts to leave through the higher gates in the top part, and then he'll receive a higher destination, like Chandra Loka or Brahma Loka or the sun planet, for instance. So When we raise our energy up to the heart region through chanting, at that point we need to go inwards. And at that point the sun god, in the form of impersonal knowledge, will try and take our consciousness upwards. And then we perform what's called Misra Bhakti, some mixed category, because we don't have pure intentions. And then our destination will not be, where were we going in the beginning? Trafalgar Square or something. Anyway, we won't get there. We'll get to Coventry or Covent Gardens or something, you know. So we'll go to a different destination. So it's important to understand first your destination. We're going to do that by explaining the residence of Braj. This is just some periphery talk to give you an understanding of the depth of chanting and what's actually needed of you and required of you. It's okay to say you've joined the Harinam Sankirtan movement, but then once you're in it, you have to find your way to the very top because you want to go to Krishna Loka. So this Shravandas, the stage of hearing, it's only the first stage. So what is the purpose of it? What's the purpose of listening to the Vedas? The purpose is to make you convinced that the material world is an illusion. It's not your place of final residence. You will never feel happy here because you're never fulfilled. And you're never fulfilled because you never fulfill the Lord's desires. So there's the Lord has different potencies. One of those potencies is called Ladini Shakti. So this Ladini means the potency that gives Lord Krishna pleasure. If somebody interprets it as saying the pleasure potency, they're incorrect. It's the potency that gives Lord Krishna pleasure. So when your activities are based on giving the Lord pleasure, you immediately feel pleasure because the Lord and you are non-different. And the Lord doesn't have to wait to pass time away before it can give you pleasure. It's an instantaneous event. You remember we talked about time. So these divisions of time, the Lord is beyond all the atomic particles combining. So the speed that the Lord can pass some information on is, it doesn't, you know, you can't compute it ever. So therefore there's no separation between yourself and the Lord. So the purpose of hearing the Vedas, hearing anything about Krishna's pastimes, is to actually make you convinced that you are the eternal servant of the Lord. When you understand that, when you've thought to yourself, yes, I no longer need to associate with the material world to get my kicks, at that point you enter onto a stage called the Varanadas stage. What does Varanadas mean? It means when you understand your spiritual form. So you remember we mentioned we're not this material body, so which body are we? We're certainly not just spirit soul. We have a name, we have a form, we have a place, we have an occupation, we have friends, we do things when we're there. So this is called Varanadas. Varanadas stage is when either the spiritual master, this is called the swastika worship, when the spiritual master reveals your form in the spiritual world. So you may have a rasa with the Lord in relation to being a cowherd boy. You may have a rasa with the Lord in relation to being a servant of the Lord.